This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Today is the draft. You can, of course, catch it right here at 7:30 on 98.7 ESPN NBA Draft. Knicks are relevant at least this one day every single year. And we say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing really good, Dave. I mean, there's so much excitement around draft day. I mean, all of these young men work so hard to get to this point in their athletic careers, and then to have the opportunity to hear your name called and to actually realize your dream. That's awesome, man. Suits and ties yelling out pay to guys. I'm so excited for tonight.
So Canty's in a terrific mood. Can you match that mood today, Rick?
Oh, I can match it, baby.
Oh.
Of course Canty's in a good mood. We're talking NBA. His team just won a championship. I mean, you know how kind of fan he is, that front runner fan he is.
Ooh. Wow, really? Ooh. You going to start that today, man?
Ooh.
I'm trying to get the show off on a good foot, and you going to start throwing out the negativity?
Ooh. Oh, I'm throwing out negativity, positivity. I'm all over
Listen,
the map
you
today.
Can't call me a fraud Lakers fan when I was
Activity.
Repping in the twilight years of Kobe. That was awful.
No, I know you love the Lakers.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Okay. I was coming on this show with you back in 2014 talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. We go back that far.
I know you love the Lakers,
All
and
right,
I know
okay.
deep down in your heart you still bleed blue, and I don't mean giant blue. You mean Dallas blue.
Really?
What is
Shots
happening?
Shots fired.
Wow,
you
did you guys have a falling out that I didn't know about, Chris? What is going on?
There isn't a falling out, but I guess Rick is just in a spicy mood. You know what it is,
Move
Dave?
This
it's hump
man.
Day. You know, he knows that Andy's going to call in with the hockey question, so
you're
Rick
nervous.
Is just all fired up.
You're nervous because today's your day to shine. Every other day, you look to me to be the leader. Today's hockey. It's your day. Andy's going to call in at 9:55, and you feel a little bit on edge today.
Little on edge.
Yeah,
a little on edge. A lot going on. Thinking about getting involved with tomorrow's football game. I got grocery shopping. I got a lot going on, baby.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was watching a preview of that game last night, and I said, I think I'm going to get involved. I'm like, I can't. It's too stressful to get involved in the Thursday night game.
No, let's get involved, Dave. Come on. It's good for the show. Let's get involved.
It's not good for you guys, though.
It's stressful.
Yeah, that Thursday
and the team
night
that
game.
The team that I like to win the game, that I think will win and cover, that I would pick, is not the team I'm going to root for in the game. So I do not think I'm going to take that game tomorrow night.
Who are you going to root for in the game?
I'm rooting for Arizona.
That's a coin flip game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Seattle's going to win. But we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely will. We'll get to Jamal Adams
Mr.
a little
Unlimited.
Bit later on.
I'm going to go Mr. Unlimited.
Yes, Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
That never gets old. So...
If I asked my wife to film me doing that video, she would laugh at me.
Mr. Unlimited.
I'm not going to film that. I can't do it to you. I can't allow you to put yourself out like that. I can't do it.
It's such a bad look.
It's terrible. Still can't believe he did it.
Yeah. I didn't put it out there for everyone to see.
I know. Oh, God. Not his best moment.
You better be glad that he's a really, really good quarterback.
Could you imagine if he wasn't? Could you imagine if he was just like an average or subpar, somebody that was struggling to hang on in the league?
Dave, he'd be the butt of all jokes in the locker room.
Right?
Yeah, 100%. If Russell Wilson wasn't as good as he is.
If that was like Mitch Trubisky that put
out
that video.
Oh, my God. Well, you'd never know because Mitch would have the TVs off in the facility. Yeah. So no one would ever know that
Mr. Happened. Really Limited.
Yeah. I'm extremely limited.
That was a good one. Oh man.
I'm getting tweets already that Rick is very feisty today.
Yeah, feisty. I'm excited, man. This is Leon Rose's, you know, first big day.
This is his welcome aboard. All right, so let's get into it. And let's open up the phone lines to the Knicks fan and the Nets fan as well. 800-919-3776. What is it that you want to see from your team tonight? Now, I'm going to tell you right now that I'm not going to be one of those guys tomorrow morning when the Knicks take whoever it is, Toppin or Halliburton or Killian Hayes or whoever they take that has this fake freak out. And I can't believe they took him over him. And how could you let Patrick Williams pass on by? Because the truth is, and I follow college basketball really, really closely, none of us have any idea, Chris, what these guys are going to be at the next level.
Well, yeah, it's been so long since you've seen these kids play and you didn't have the benefit of watching these conference tournaments or the NCAA tournaments. So you didn't have a ton of exposure seeing these guys go up against opponents that they really don't know or have any idea about. So, I mean, it's all a crapshoot. And this year you have less data points than you would in a typical draft. So it's difficult. This is where your college scouts and your front office people earn their money in terms of being able to put years of information together in order to determine whether or not a kid is a good fit for your program. And I was thinking about this morning while I was driving in. Like, this is why the Knicks brought over Walt Perrin from the Utah Jazz. Somebody that saw the potential in Donovan Mitchell, decided to draft him, and he's turned into a star in the first couple of years he's been in the NBA. So I just that's what you're hoping can happen tonight. With that eighth overall pick, you're able to find one of those diamonds in the rough. That's what you're looking for. And so Leon Rose is going to have to lean on the people that the organization brought in order to make the best decision for the franchise. Because you got to find somebody that can be a contributor to this team. He might not develop into a superstar, but you're looking for somebody that has some dominant traits that will be able to contribute to the development of the other guys on this team, in particular R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, try to figure out what you're trying to accomplish here, like what your identity as a team is going to be, and then find the player in this draft. And maybe, you know, you decide you want to, you know, package a couple picks and move up because there's a guy like, you know, Toppin that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't one of those drafts where you got a bunch of can't-miss guys. I mean, Chris, you said crapshoot. I mean, this draft, when you look at it, is really a crapshoot. And it's, you know, who you identify as the guy you want. And if that's Toppin, you want to go up and get Toppin. Or, I mean, if it's Halliburton because you need a guard. Or if it's, I mean, I feel like this draft is going to be one where you can find some 3-and-D wings, which are, I mean, in the NBA today, are, I mean, those are important pieces. But this is a test. I mean, because there isn't, like you said, there was no tournament. There was nothing else. Like, this is why you made the hires that you made.
Absolutely.
For a situation like this.
And we don't even know who's going to go one. I mean, forget about the Knicks and eight. Right now, there's really, they don't know if it's going to be Wiseman. They don't know if it's going to be LaMelo. They don't know if it's going to be Anthony Edwards. We have no idea who's going to go one. That's rare, guys. It's rare to be on the day of the draft and really not know who's going to go one, two, or three. So maybe one of these guys, maybe a Toppin does fall. You've seen that fall to the Knicks. Maybe a Halliburton falls to the Knicks. Maybe they take the kid from Israel and they want to take him at eight. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but here's how I feel. And Chris, I'm interested to see if you feel the same way. And I know you're not a Knicks fan, so you're kind of outside of the realm of this situation. It's a clean slate for Leon Rose. Like, I'm excited to see what he's able to do, and I'm not going to sit here and destroy the Knicks for whatever it is that happens tonight during the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it is a clean slate for Leon Rose, but to Rick's point, I mean, this is why you brought in all the executives in your front office this offseason. This is why you brought over Brock Aller from the Cleveland Cavaliers to manage your cap and to help you organize your strategy moving forward. This is why you have a Frank Perrin, you know, your AGM of pro scouting on staff. Like, those are the people that Leon Rose is going to have to lead on, because this is not Leon Rose's strong suit, right? Leon Rose is the relationship guy. I'm not necessarily sure that he's the brain of the operation in terms of what needs to be the strategy moving forward. Like, what do we need to do? What are the dominoes that we need to fall our way in order to build the foundation that we think is going to lead to sustained winning? Like, I think that's where you have to rely on those front office people that have been in those roles at other organizations that have done those jobs. Tonight is a really important night for the franchise. I mean, they traded away Kristaps Porzingis and brought back a hell of a lot of draft capital, and you're going to have to start using those first-round picks in order to build the infrastructure for what the Knicks will be 3 to 5 years from now. So it's important, man. I'm not saying that every pick that they make has to be a home run, but you're just trying to get base hits. Like, when you're not in the top five in the NBA draft, you're just looking to make base hits.
Yeah,
and if you make solid decisions, then that could lead to putting some pieces on this team. And who knows? You might be able to find that diamond in the rough like I talked about earlier, that guy that becomes a superstar. But more likely than not, you're just looking for solid contributors to your team, guys that can understand their role and come in and execute their responsibilities.
Yeah, 100%. Odds are distinctly against you that you're going to wind up drafting a stud, like right away stud 2010 guy at number eight. But all I'm asking for, Rick, this is all I'm looking for, give me a guy that can contribute. Give me a guy that comes in there, is capable of playing at the NBA level, and makes R.J. Barrett better and adds to this team, and you see you're heading in the right direction. I don't think that's too much to ask for, is it?
No, I don't think it's too much to ask, but I think you give yourself a better opportunity to do that if you have, you know, the right coaching staff in place. And, you know, Tibbs has a proven track record, right, in the hires that they made. I mean, it doesn't have to be a can't-miss guy, but at least give yourself the opportunity, because you have the right people in place to develop that player into a really good player. I mean, that's something the Knicks have to focus on.
But I feel good about that. Like, for the first time in a long time, I feel like the Knicks have the right, at least the right coach in place.
No, I do too. So, I mean, it may not be, like, let's face it. I mean, there's a lot of people that look at some of these names and, you know, haven't really seen these kids play. So, I mean, like you said, you're not going to show up tomorrow morning and be outraged, you know, if it's, whoever it ends up being.
But you'll get that. You'll get the people that'll call us, like, I can't believe they didn't take, you know, Halliburton and they took Killian Hayes and went to Harlem.
Yeah, they better not take another French point guard. That's the one thing they can't do.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm not.
No, if you take, like, if it ends up being Vassal instead of a Coral, or if Halliburton goes seven,
that tomorrow
and that's who
plays
you
that game.
Well, we don't know, man. We don't watch, you know, amateur basketball like these other people do. Like, Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz do a great job for ESPN and scouting all of these dudes. We don't watch that kind of that much basketball. We don't. We don't know what's going on with the guys that are coming from, you know, other places out in the world, the international guys, Europe, Australia. We're not watching those games. So we really don't have any idea of where those guys fit in the pecking order in terms of trying to forecast what these young players will develop into. Like, we just don't know. We have to lean on their word. But the most important thing is that the Knicks know exactly what these guys are, and they identify the guys that could potentially fit what they're trying to do. Because Rick's right, man. You got to try to start forming an identity at some point. Like with Joe Judge, the thing that we love about what he's doing, the Giants are forming an identity. They're a tough, smart football team. Like, that's what you want the Knicks to be. You want them to be a tough, smart basketball team. And then when you infuse the talent into that culture, you have a really good chance at getting those players to realize their full potential. That is what they're trying to do right now. That should be Leon Rose's focus at this point.
Now, speak for yourself. I got the Israeli Premier League in the DirecTV package.
What team is the kid on?
Tel Aviv.
What's the MVP? Yeah, what's the team?
Who's the MVP?
Well, of what team?
The Tel Aviv team.
It's Maccabee, yeah.
He's on Maccabi, yeah.
Yeah, Maccabi. Yeah. Get the package.
You get the package.
MVP, baby.
Okay, there you go.
Don't try to test me.
Little scouting report on
my DirecTV subscriptions.
Is that even an option on the DirecTV package?
No. Of course not. I mean, why even ask such a ridiculous question? It was meant to be a joke, dummy. Play along, would you please? Oh, be so literal every 2 seconds.
Right.
Have some
Captain
fun.
Literal.
Enjoy yourself, would you?
Listen, it's a big day for the Knicks.
You get to talk on the radio for a living.
I'm
have
on
some
edge.
Fun, please.
Can't help myself. You are all feisty and nervous today.
I am feisty. Have some fun, man. We get to do this. This is our job. We get to do for 2 hours a day. Enjoy it, please. On what team does he play for?
Well, you tell me.
Because DirecTV. Because DirecTV really has that package
right.
Available.
Right.
I mean, come on, man.
But you do watch Bundesliga, though, Rick. You do.
I do watch Bundesliga.
You do watch the Bundesliga.
I'm also highly invested in the International Swimming League.
Really?
Does that even exist?
The ISL? Oh yeah,
the
ISL. That's It's on CBS Sports Network. baby, check it out. Google it. ISL.
I don't need to.
It may be on today. Let me check. I'll check the guide. You guys continue to talk.
So you are sitting at home watching swimming.
It's on the television. Yeah, I'm not. Mm. It's not something I'm, you know, 100% focused on.
Right. Nor would I think it would be. All right. Let's get to a couple calls. Knicks fans they're excited. It's a big day for Knicks Nation. And let's go to John in Queens. John, lead us off on draft day on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, John.
I just wanted to say something real quick regarding the pick. You know, so we have Ace. I think the best thing we can do is obviously draft the best available. However, I want to say, you know, if Kira Lewis is there and Okoro is there and the kid from Israel who I'm impressed with is there, I mean, I think the best, honest thing we can do is move down two picks, grab an extra asset for the future, and pick one of those kids when they're available. I'm big on Kira Lewis. You know, if we really want to go point guard route, we can probably take him 11th and move back a little bit and grab an extra asset or two there. So I was just wondering what you guys think of that.
I just don't understand why you would want to move down when you already have a ton of assets over the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I know, but like what you guys are saying, like there's no clear number one in this draft. So like,
yeah, but if you get to eight, John, if you get to eight and the guy you want is there, you want to now play games and move down?
Yeah, but who's the guy you want?
I don't. How would I know who the guy the Knicks want is?
Right.
They move up. They may move up.
Yeah, see, to me, that makes a lot more sense.
I think there's a better chance they move up and take the guy that they're targeting than move down.
Like, you never know what Golden State's going to do with the second overall pick. Who knows if they want that pick? I mean, that could be a possibility, move up to two. I mean, if you want to move up and take Toppin. I mean, there'll be some wheeling and, like you heard Woj, like there'll be some wheeling and dealing tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, I think consensus. It makes the most sense to trade that Golden State pick. So we'll see what happens. There's going to be movement at the top of this year's draft, though.
I'm actually looking forward to it.
Well, of course.
Nothing going on a Wednesday, little NBA draft. Jay Williams fully invested since he has to be because he just doesn't do the morning show anymore.
7:30, by the way, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Nice setup. I like how the setup looks, too.
It's cool, right?
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
The NBA did a great job. Let's be honest. The NBA, even with the bubble, too, they did a great job. The NBA does it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a good watch on TV. I didn't really miss. I guess you do miss. Obviously, you miss the fans and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you miss the wildness of the fans and the energy of the fans.
Well, I think you miss it the most is when they win. You know, when the Lakers won, that was the most. That was the most awkward.
Yeah.
Like how they did the interviews and everything else. That was just a weird whole. Like the whole visual of that was weird.
But the bubble was a success. Overwhelming success. No question it about it.
So was hockey. Tremendous hockey was success. Too.
Yeah.
At least for one of the New York teams, actually.
Why, man? Why?
By the way, you bring that up. By the way, do you see this, Canty?
What's that, Dave?
I'll ask Rick just to put him on the spot.
The International Swimming League? What do you want to know?
Yeah, the ISL. No, the Vegas favorite to win the Rookie of the Year in the NHL this coming season is who? You have any idea?
I'm going to say it should be Sorokin is who it should be.
It would not. He would be like 13th on the list.
That's ridiculous.
It is Shesterkin. Is the favorite to win that's the Rookie ridiculous. Of the Year. Do you know who number two is?
Let me ask you. It's probably Lafreniere.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. Let me ask you, who's the best defensive team in the National Hockey League?
There he goes.
What position does Sorokin play? Oh, goalie? Okay.
Listen, it's fine.
Last time I checked, not this year, but the previous year, was an Islander goalie a Vezina finalist? I believe he was.
Okay. Good.
We'll see. I would put a wager on it.
You would not.
I would 100%.
You would give me Shesterkin and you would take Sorokin?
Yep.
No. It's ridiculous. The Vegas is telling you that's a ridiculous wager.
Hockey's fun.
I don't even make bets with you, though, because you don't come through with the bets. I mean, you lost the football picks and you still haven't done that yet.
Yeah. I haven't left
the embarrassment. It's an embarrassment.
Last time the Rangers beat the Islanders and you were supposed to buy me breakfast, I'm still waiting on that. So don't get yourself all crazy.
What do you mean buy you breakfast? How many times did I bring in food to the studio?
No. I was supposed to get a specific breakfast the next morning and everyone's like, did he bring it? No, you didn't bring it.
You were supposed to pick out the breakfast. Oh, did I? What was I supposed to bring you?
You were supposed to bring me breakfast.
I don't know. I don't remember this.
Yes. Oh, it's well documented.
But when we were in the studio, Dave, the guy did bring us breakfast at least once a week.
At least
once a week.
I can't remember that far back. That's in the studio is a very long time ago.
Yeah, it's a very long time ago, but it was a part of our daily routine. Like the guy would stop by Kitchen Cab and bring us breakfast because the guy that owns Kitchen Cab loves the show.
By the way, Dave, if anyone was wondering, ISL team to beat right now, Energy Standard.
The Energy, yes.
Yeah, Energy Standard.
Yeah, they're
followed
big time.
By the Cali Condors. You're
yeah, I heard in the butterfly, the Energy Standard is almost unbeatable.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
you look almost. You look more like a breaststroke guy, to be honest.
No, that would be accurate. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Really quick, I think for the Knicks, my dream draft pick. I don't think he'll be available. I don't think he's getting past the Bulls. Is Obi Toppin? But who I think would be available at 8, who I want the Knicks to draft, would be Devin Vassell. I think he's the best athlete in that area of that 8th pick, and he can shoot, which is something we desperately need. And I think the fact that the Knicks were quiet in this trade market, and it seems to really die down for the Knicks rumors recently in the trade, I think they're going to go hard on Fred VanVleet. And I've been saying that on all the shows for the last couple of months before the bubble even started. I want Fred VanVleet. And if you're going to pay $40 million or $47 million in a trade for Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook and lose assets, it's so much smarter to pay. I see on the board he's projected to get somewhere between $18 to $22 million. I'd give him $23 million for 3 or 4 years in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? For what he's done, he's already a championship. He plays well. He plays defense.
Yeah, but there's probably a couple other teams that would do the same exact thing that are closer to winning than the New York Knicks.
Exactly, but he prioritized money in an interview about 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And why not Matt shell out and give him the best offer anybody could give? It's not going to be as high as $40 million for CP3 and Westbrook.
Well, you're not getting CP3.
You're not getting CP3.
CP3 already got traded to Phoenix.
Yeah.
I know. But I'm just saying, example, we wanted – that was something that was in the cards, and we were going to have to pay him $40 million for 2 years, and we're going to have to give up assets. If we get Fred VanVleet, he's going to be under $30 million, and we're not going to have to give up any assets.
Yeah, see, I don't know how many assets you're going to have to give up to get Russell Westbrook.
I don't think you'd have to give up a lot at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think the question is, do you want to bring on the salary? Not that you want to give up the assets.
Well, I was reading something this morning, guys, where it said that the Houston Rockets aren't going to give Westbrook or Harden away.
Good.
Like, even with the terrible contract, like Westbrook, they were going to try to bring back something of value for Westbrook. Like, it wasn't going to be just a salary dump. That's not how they were looking at it. Now, maybe that's just posturing. Maybe that's just trying to create a market, whatever it is that they're trying to do. But, I mean, I don't know, man. To me, if you could have got Chris Paul, that would have been the move. Clearly, he had other plans. So now you have to move on to your next option. And I think that the Knicks are probably weighing, you know, Russell Westbrook versus trying to move up in the draft to get a point guard, maybe a LaMelo Ball, or deciding to go out there and pay a Fred VanVleet. I think those are their choices in terms of addressing the point guard position. And that's been an area of need for as long as I've been doing this radio show. So...
yeah, we're still looking for the point guard.
Yep. They got to figure that out.
Have been forever.
Because until you get that guy, you're not going to see R.J. Barrett at his best, and you're not going to see what Mitchell Robinson could have to offer.
It's the most important position in the NBA, and the Knicks have nothing even resembling a legitimate point guard.
Yeah, you have to have some structure to your offense. Like your point guard, having a legitimate point guard, a guy that can control the tempo of the game, that can get the ball to guys in their spots, like you have to have that in today's NBA. If you don't have that, I mean, when you start talking about trying to develop young players, that's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah, it's vital. I mean, it's like trying to find the quarterback. I mean, that's what the Knicks have been looking at for that forever.
Yep. I like that position. I'd be a fan of bringing him in. I think he's a terrific player.
Yeah, you may think he's a terrific player, but, I mean, just in past history would show you that, I mean, guys aren't tripping over themselves to sign with the Knicks.
Oh, well, at some point you would hope that this new regime, that would start to change.
Well, ain't that why you hired an agent to be your president of basketball operations? Isn't that why you went out and got Leon Rose?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay, so we'll see what happens. I mean, isn't that why you hired William Wesley to be in your front office, Worldwide West, to have good relationships with players? Well, here goes your first test. If that's a guy that you really want, do what it takes to be able to sell that guy on why he should come to Madison Square Garden and play for the Knicks.
Then you got a lot of money to spend, that's for sure.
Yeah.
If you overpay for him.
Who cares at this point? Talking about with Russell Westbrook. Who cares about what it costs? If you feel like that's your guy, then go out there and get him. You got to spend the money on somebody. And Fred VanVleet is going to cost a hell of a lot less than a Russell Westbrook or a Chris Paul would.
No, I agree. Let's go to Frank in Englewood. Frank, you're next up on 98.7.
Fellas, I'm going to chime in on these Knicks over here. I don't know about how your question today was. How do you guys feel about the upcoming draft today? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been a Knicks fan since I was born, 40 years. And I'm on the edge. I feel happy. I feel sad. I feel excited. I feel terrified because, it's the Knicks. You know, I mean, which way can it go? I mean, if they get lucky, they can go ahead and get somebody good. I mean, we already reshaped our front office, so that's positive. You know, now we got to go in there and get the best talent available at this point, whatever we can get at 8. Forget about trading down. You know, if anything, trade up. You know, but it's the Knicks. You know, we're excited, you know, and at the same time, we're terrified because we don't know what to expect. You know, it's a pendulum. It can go either way.
Yeah, but it's talent. I mean, I get what you're saying. And that's a huge key in, you know, being successful in draft. You want to draft who you think is the most versatile, the most talented, that fits the best in your system and how you want to play. Who's going to fit best in that locker room? I mean, but that also has to tie into who the coaching staff of your team is and their ability to actually, you know, have an identity. You know, find pieces that they feel like can fit in their system, and you can develop those young players. That's the most important thing. The work doesn't stop once you make the pick. That's just when it starts. And that's not something the Knicks have been good at, because there really hasn't been enough continuity. Like, I mean, you even go back to, which I think is still to this day, you know, just in recent history, one of the worst things the Knicks have ever done, which is let Phil make that pick.
It was awful.
I mean, the reason why he made the pick of Frank Ntilikina because he thought he would fit in the triangle. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't exist. You made that pick and then you fired Phil, so there was no more triangle. So that was destined to fail.
It was terrible. Bringing him in here was set the franchise back. And allowing him to make that pick really set the franchise back.
Well, of course. I mean, just think of what this team would look like if you actually had, I mean, listened to everyone else in the room and drafted Donovan Mitchell.
That's crazy.
Guys would want to come here. Guys would be knocking down the door to be able to come here to play with him. And I don't think that Kristaps Porzingis would have ever requested a trade if he would have drafted Donovan Mitchell.
Not if Donovan Mitchell's here.
So now you're telling me I got Mitchell, I got Porzingis. I'm a legitimate team.
Yeah, real legitimate.
I'm a legitimate team. And I'm a destination.
It completely changes the conversation.
Yep.
But unfortunately, you came to that fork in the road and you took the wrong turn.
Yeah, but everybody else wants to go the other way.
I know, but you had empowered Phil to make those decisions.
It's very frustrating.
I just don't understand how you don't have that meeting before you allow Phil to have the draft. Like, hey, Phil, what do you think we want to do here with, you know, with KP and everything else? Like, what's the direction? Like, we'll wait till after you make that pick to have that conversation. And then fire you. Awesome.
Yeah, but that's what bad teams do.
Now, hopefully it's changing. Now,
hopefully
that's all
it
you
is.
Do is hope.
Hopefully you feel better tonight.
You can't continue
tonight.
To be negative. You can't,
no,
you,
I'm
at
not.
At some point, you got to just, you know, trust that this new regime is going to make the right choices. And if they
but
fail,
they haven't
you
given
be
you a lot of reasons to trust, though.
Currently, no.
Oh, what's
you
happening?
You got a Woj bomb.
What, you got it? I don't see it yet.
The New York Knicks
oh,
are
boy.
Up in Wednesday's NBA draft, acquiring the Utah Jazz pick at number 23 for the number 27th and 38th picks tonight. Knicks are now picking at 8 and 23.
All right. So obviously they're identifying someone
yep.
later on in that first round that they like.
Yep.
Well, unless you're packaging 8 and 23 to move up.
Yeah, which you could.
Which you could.
Which you could. 8 and 23, move up a couple spots. If they drafted Toppin, I think everybody universally feels pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Right, like he's the one seemingly for all the people that are draft experts tonight, safe pick for the Knicks. Like you would feel good about taking him.
I think he's the pick that most New York Knicks fans are familiar with.
Yes.
Yes.
He's from New York. You watched him play. He was player of the year in college basketball for what we got to see of it last year. Everyone likes him. Highly rated. Good kid. You'd feel good about that.
He's fun to watch, man.
He's
a highlight reel. He's a highlight reel.
Crazy athletic.
Only problem is whoever he's defending, they're going to put together a highlight reel too.
He's really bad defensively?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're saying that, you know, his lateral quickness could be a problem when it comes to staying in front of people on the defensive end of the court. So we'll see about that.
Well, he hasn't been through a Tom Thibodeau camp, though.
Well, listen, all these players have warts. So it's just a matter of being able to, you know, have the guys that are in the building to coach them up and be able to get the best out of them.
Yeah, you can remove warts.
Yeah, but they grow back, though. That's the problem.
Do they? Like, once you have a wart, it always grows back?
I don't know if it always grows back.
Mm.
But you can neutralize it for a while.
Well, I mean, Dave, you're in position to tell us. I mean, you would know better than any of us.
About your warts?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen your warts. I don't know.
I'm talking about you. I don't have warts, so
no.
You know, I just figured you have a skin tag problem. I don't
yeah,
know.
I can't tell
he
you
does
about
have a skin
warts.
Tag problem.
No.
Like sprinkles all over.
Uncertain.
Wouldn't
about
say
your
that
warts.
Warts are outside of the realm of possibility. Just saying.
Look like an ice cream cone with sprinkles.
Can't tell you about the warts going on. All right, here we go. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR, PR via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You got see, that's the perfect example of why people feel badly for me and look at me as kind of a shining light. Just unmitigated shots at me all show long. Very unnecessary.
Rick started the show taking shots at me. What are you talking
that
about?
That wasn't, baby. He called you a fraud fan. That's nothing. He wasn't,
equal
he wasn't making fun of your
Dave.
Personal
don't start
appearance.
This woe is me start garbage on the
this
airwaves.
This is why
man.
People look
don't
at me
start
as a beacon, a shining light.
Whatever, man. Come on. Whatever.
Miss called you a fraud fan. Well, back in 2014, I had to endure bad. Please, stop it, really.
If anyone's the beacon, it's Jordan Renan.
Stop.
Well, Dad
you know what? He's not even here to defend himself.
I know, which makes it better.
It makes it easier for you, doesn't it? Now, the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20 contest continues today, 3 o'clock. The K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game over the years. They'll play a quick soundbite. You get it right, you call with the right answer, and that's it. You recognize that voice, and you win. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away an Ion portable indoor-outdoor projector with powerful speaker. It's the 20 in 20 contest brought to you by P.C. Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Is that something you have, Rick, yet? An outdoor theater?
No. Nope.
You would probably appreciate that, though, right?
No, that's a great gift. I don't know how much I would use it, but yeah, it's a great gift.
Those things are great.
They're fantastic.
Waterproof.
I got a nice setup. Cass hooked it up. Love my couch.
But imagine this for a second. You're in the pool, and you can watch a game.
Well, see, now we're talking.
Right?
Especially with how much time I spent in the... See, that's a different story. Yeah, you're right. Correct.
I mean, that's it's life-changing. You'd come out like a
that
prude.
Is.
Right?
After I got done throwing Milo 1,000 times. Throw me again, Dad. Throw me again.
Is he never tired?
Never. Not even when he closes. I swear in his sleep with how much he moves. Like, when he gives me the, Dad, can you cuddle? And I'm like, how do I say no to that? I've never seen any human being move as much in his sleep.
Really?
Dude, he's all over the place. Like sideways, hanging.
Well, that's
like
not good to be a restless sleeper like that.
Very restless.
Mm.
Very restless. Maybe I'm not doing a good enough job of getting his energy out.
If you're throwing him that much in the pool, it sounds like you are. I mean,
you
got to
run the kids.
Maybe
that was one of your better quotes on the show. Got to take the kids out and run them.
You do. You have to exhaust them. Otherwise, it's like 9:30. You're tired. Nope, not tired. I could go all night. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. Is they say they're not tired, and then if you don't pay attention to like when they actually look like they're tired and you let it go past, then it works in reverse where they get the second wind and you can't put it. It's almost impossible.
No, you can't afford the second wind. Very bad.
It's like when you take the wife out on a date and she's like a drink and a half in, and if you don't capitalize on that moment.
There's your window.
Because then it's closed.
Take the wife out on a date. I don't even remember what that is like.
I know, right?
I mean, that is...
Because you get the drink, too, and then you're pretty much like, I'm carrying her in the house.
That's funny. All right, 800-919-3776. So to recap, you're just joining us. It's draft night, 7:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Knicks go 8. So they've just made a trade, according to Woj, 27 and 38, and they move up and they get the 23rd overall selection. Chris, when I have a moment to digest this, I think this is all a big play to try to move up from 8.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it can only be one of two things. And it's either that they want to package together those two picks to try to get up, you know, probably somewhere in the top 5 because they have a specific player that they want, or just from a talent level standpoint, they see a drop-off at that point in the draft. Like, after 23, it might be a little bit of a drop-off in terms of the prospects that they like, the prospects that they think would fit what they're trying to do. So, we'll see what happens, man. But I do suspect that there will be some movement in the top 5 of this draft. Like Golden State at number 2. I mean, as soon as they won the second pick in the lottery, like there were rumors that were flying like, yeah, we want to flip this pick for a player that can help us compete for a championship this coming season. Because you're getting Steph back, you're getting Klay back. Like you would like to think that they were going to be one of the favorites coming out of the West. And you're just trying to add to that. So we'll see what happens. But it's an exciting time for the Knicks, man. Like, this is why you put together the front office that you have. You know, Leon Rose, you put him at the top of your organization because of his relationships. You know, you're hoping that he can take advantage of the assets that the team had in place. Tonight is a big night,
so
man.
Long.
You can't miss. You can't miss. Whatever your plan is tonight, you got to execute.
No, and the last thing you can afford to have happen is for 8 you to take whoever it is, and then 10 turns into the next Donovan Mitchell. You can't have that happen. You can't have a guy go past you that turns into a next star in the NBA. You have to capitalize this year.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't control that, though, Dave.
Well, you can't. You can't. If it goes after you, you can.
Well, I mean, you say that, but it's also, I mean, where a player ends up being drafted into the situation he's put in, I mean, that's... That's a lot. That's a lot of it too.
Yeah, but don't you feel good about the Knicks on court situation as far as getting the most out of a player now? Like you have to feel better about
that.
I
do, but we
haven't
seen
it
yet.
Time.
No, I do, but we haven't seen it yet. And we're also not at a point where there's a whole hell of a lot of talent surrounding whoever we draft. Like, there'll be high expectations, but again, it's not. It's the Knicks aren't flush with talent. Like, where you can just put this kid into a certain role and he can excel at that role. Like, you're going to ask him to do a lot because there's not a lot. I mean, let's face it, there's not a lot of talent on this team currently.
No, there's very little. I mean, when you look,
so
at
there may
the
be someone that gets drafted. There may be someone that gets drafted later into a really good situation on a really good team that instantly pops because he's in the perfect spot.
But you can't
kind of like Chase Claypool with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, like Tyler Hero last year.
Exactly.
Goes into the perfect situation, but you can't miss. You can't.
Well, just make yourself here's the thing.
Overall tonight.
Turn yourself into that kind of situation where you have the coaching staff in place and the talent evaluators in place that you identify the right players and put them into a system that gets the best out of their talent. That has to be the focus. Because the Knicks haven't done a good job. The Jets don't do a good job at that. I mean, it seems like the Giants are heading in the right direction with that.
It does.
But that's the biggest thing, man. I mean, that's the draft by nature is a crapshoot. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of it comes down to the situation you put these kids in and how quickly you can teach these kids to be professionals, which means supporting them with the right coaching staff, with the right veteran leadership around them, with the right structure around them. Like, guys like to be told what to do. Like, athletes by nature like being told here's what we need you to do. It's a whole hell of a lot easier when you tell me what I need to do to be successful than me having to try to figure it out myself.
Yes, but you feel like you have the piece in place at the head coach that can do that. You've seen him do that in the past.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but we haven't seen it yet.
But you haven't seen it here. You've seen him have that success elsewhere, though.
With the right type of players.
Yes.
I've also seen it fail with the wrong type of players. So that's
correct.
Important.
In Minnesota, it did not succeed.
It's not just talent. It's also the mindset of the player that you draft, which I think a lot of the times is the most important thing because that's what separates good from great is what's between your ears and what's in your chest. That's the hardest thing to identify, but that's the most important thing. Like, how much does a kid love basketball? How much does he want to get better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, those are important things.
Yeah, I think it was Mike Schmitz last night on the draft special I was watching that said that LaMelo Ball absolutely loves basketball. Can't get enough.
Yeah, and they said he impressed in a lot of his pre-draft workouts the last couple of weeks. So,
and Bobby Marks said Halliburton was the best interview he's ever done.
Really?
Really?
Was the best he's ever done.
I didn't hear that. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like he's more of an off-the-ball guard than he is a point guard, though, Rico. Doesn't it?
Yeah, but they said his basketball IQ was crazy. I mean, he's a connector. Like, he brings everyone together.
Gotcha. You need guys like that when you're trying to build a culture, too.
Have to.
You have to have guys like that.
Let's go to Edwin in the Bronx. Edwin, you're next up on 98.7.
Enjoy the morning, guys. Enjoy the draft this evening. I would like to say that could be a play to either to bring in Cole Anthony if we could get an Obi Toppin at 8 and a Cole Anthony at 23. Or it could be a play to get Russell Westbrook, because I know the Houston wanted a late first rounder. So my options would be we could bring in Russell Westbrook if we don't get a point guard early in the draft. And I think we could compare, bring back Morris, bring back Robin Lopez. And that's one of my options of free agency if we can't get a Fred VanVleet or stuff like that. But I'll definitely look for the draft for you guys to get Obi Toppin. We definitely need to bring in a Cole Anthony. If that move is for that, I will hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I don't know why you definitely have to bring
I think
you're
going to have to move
Anthony.
Up, though. I think if you want Obi Toppin, it sounds like you have to move up.
Yeah, probably so. And maybe you now have armed yourself with the weapons to be able to move up a couple spots.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this isn't the NFL draft. Like, that second-round pick is, I mean, you don't need it. Yeah. Well, because, I mean, agents are smart, too. They don't want their players drafted in the second round. It's got no value to them. They'd rather their players, sign somewhere as free agents.
Yeah.
So you move up. I mean, you go from 27 to 23, and now, maybe there's a team, up where you can get Obi Toppin that would rather have 23 than 27.
I'd like to get Toppin. If they could get him, move up a couple spots and grab him, I think you'd feel really good about it. It's going to be a good player.
You seem like a Toppin guy.
I am. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that's a shot at me, but I think that's
not
him.
A shot at you at all.
It's not a shot at all.
It's a good thing.
I'm a Toppin guy for sure.
But yeah, you know what? And this is probably unfair. I've seen a lot of him. Like I some of the other guys I haven't seen at all. So I've seen a lot of him, and I know he's a good player.
Well, he's gonna. I mean, he would be of the guys. Like, unless you're moving up to the first or second pick, and you're going to get – I really like Anthony Edwards. I mean, there's some people that like LaMelo Ball. I mean, Wiseman is – I mean, he's more of a traditional big man. I mean, doesn't really – I guess he can develop his shot, but I think the most excited Knicks fans would be about Toppin because they've seen his
– I agree. Realistic, right? Like, I think if you got LaMelo Ball, we would be crazy, but I don't think that's going to happen.
It doesn't feel like it, but you don't. Yeah, no. I mean, you don't know what
you
what
don't
ends
know.
Up happen.
You don't, and that's why you have to tune in.
Like Minnesota's been, close to the vest as far as who they like.
Mm-hmm. Feels like seems Anthony like, Edwards makes the most sense for them though, because they got D'Angelo like Russell and Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, it seems like the better fit.
Yeah,
Wiseman though was a freak. I mean, he's a freak athlete too. Like at his size, like he's
yeah, well, he's seven like, feet and a freak athlete.
Yeah, but he's put together though. Like he's a 7-footer that's put together.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good-looking athlete.
Like, built-in-a-lab kind of guy.
Exactly right.
Yeah. 7 foot, 240 pounds.
Yeah, it can move.
You can work with that.
See, he seems like a good fit in Golden State for what they're looking for, but.
Yeah, but I think they want immediate gratification.
You know what, though, Rico? I was thinking about this. LaMelo Ball in Golden State wouldn't be bad either. He really wouldn't be. I mean, if there were one place that he could go and develop properly and be around the right kind of culture where he can get to, you know, the upside of that potential, it would be Golden State.
Yeah, it'd be a good situation for him. Yeah. It'd be a good situation for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, Golden State's a good to wind up.
No, but
with
I'm just saying with his skill set, though. I mean, he's a playmaker. Like, all he's trying to do is get the ball to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in their spots. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 6'7 point guard that can pass.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's got a sick handle. It's just he's a ball. That's part of the problem. You got to deal with his dad.
You see what his dad said yesterday?
I can only imagine.
But I can't even say it on air.
You can say it.
No, I can't.
But he's kind of trying to separate himself from his pops, though, Dave.
Which must be under advice from someone, which is right.
I think he's with Clutch, so I think it would be those guys.
Well, it's the right move.
Yeah, was it that bad what he said? Do I have to Google this? What did he say? Was it nasty, dirty? Like, would you get dumped?
No, he told his kid, he called women by a certain name that starts with an H. He said, you'll never meet a good woman during your NBA career. They're all blanks. Okay.
I believe that begins with a W, not an H.
No. No, it's an H.
What is the I don't know what
it's an H. It's like the farm equipment.
Yeah. Just depends on the culture you're coming from.
Oh,
just depends
okay.
on
the Yeah. I know what you're saying now.
All right.
Yeah.
That was better. Yeah, the farm. I get it.
Yeah. You're not gonna find nobody like that.
I think you could say that. I think you could say that. The other one, the W one, you probably couldn't say, but the H one you could say.
I don't know.
Apparently you can't. I've never heard it dumped before.
Well, you know, who knows? Certain things get through. Other things do not. 800-919-3776. Look, we all accidentally damage our phones. It happens.
The best line in the history of the show. The best line. I wish people could have heard that line. Was the best line in the history of the show.
Yeah, but you have to tell the story in context.
Well, we got a lot of people that listen. But no one heard. I mean, no one. We were the ones that got to hear that.
I wasn't even on the show at that point.
No, you weren't, but it was the fact that he even said it.
Still,
is the funniest
outside
thing
of a guy at
it's
our
not nice
station.
To speak ill of people who are not here.
It's not ill. It's
he
funny.
Didn't he die. He just not, doesn't work with us anymore.
Well, he still works for the company.
He provided one of the best moments
and
in the history of the
show.
And we
love him.
We love him. Love him. Love Mitchie.
Outside of the guy that tried to heat up Russian dressing as a soup on Thanksgiving, this might be my favorite all time story at the station.
So, for anyone listening, so what happened was. So now we have Dina Han and we have Ray Santiago. When the show first started, we had RJ, we had Ray, and we also had Chris Mitchell, who now works for National
yeah, he's
Radio.
Up in Bristol. Yep.
He works up in Bristol. So he put together a prompt. What do you call it? A promo?
A rejoin. When
you rejoin.
At the end of an hour, you start a new hour, and there's the audio of what happened in hour one. It's the rejoin.
Yeah, and he couldn't have been more proud of this rejoin. We hadn't heard it, and then he played it, and part of the rejoin was He used in the promo
a curse word.
It was from a movie, yeah, but it was the S word for poop, and he used it and played it, and then we're all sitting there. Like I looked at Dina Han across, like through the glass.
No,
and I'm like,
senor, no, senor.
Please tell me you dumped that. And he's like, of course I dumped that. And I said, Mitchie, what are you doing? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, you can't play that on the rejoin. He goes, well, I've never heard that word dumped. It's because we're like, yeah, Mitchie, because everyone realizes that's on the list of words you can use on radio.
It's got to be one of the most confounding remarks in the history of anything.
Like that kind of party?
I mean,
I've never heard it dumped.
I've never heard that. The fact that he put it in the rejoin. And then looked you square in the eye and said, I've never heard that word dumped.
Oh, my God. And he was dead. He was so proud of it, too. It was like his, it was his baby. Like, he's like, this is going to be the best rejoin I've ever done in my life.
I can't.
And then the look on his face when it actually, like, when it played, and, like, he was looking at us in the studio, like, just with, like, this sparkle in his eye. Like, the guy's going to love this. They're going to laugh so hard. And we were just like, I can't believe, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
Please tell me that got dumped.
There's nothing to say. Now, did he ever, like, yield and say, guys, that was my mistake?
Nope.
Or was it to the death? Like, that's a word that should be able to be played on air.
To this day, he is still, this day I've never heard it dumped. Should not have been dumped.
All right, Rick, it is your time to shine. It's a Wednesday. It's hump day. It means Andy from Merrick brings hockey to the show. Andy from Merrick, welcome aboard.
Good morning, DCR. Woo! We got a big Wednesday edition for Ricky and the boys. It's an AARP edition of NHL trivia. Each of the answers today are people that Rick has faced in his NHL career. Starting with, who is the active leader in games played in the NHL?
Ooh, active leader in games played. I want to say it could be Marlowe.
Could it be Thornton?
Jumbo's got to be up there. It's one of those two, I think.
Go with your gut then.
Andy's not giving it. I don't like how Andy's just being quiet right now.
No, yeah, no, you're probably right
with Marlowe then.
I'll go with Marlowe.
Rock on, Rico.
Yes.
One for one.
Where does Thornton rank, Andy?
Thornton's in the top three.
Okay.
Marlowe, speaking of one Marlowe, is number two among active players in goals scored. Who is number two? Who is number one?
Ovi.
CeCe, my man.
That a boy,
CeCe. CeCe, I thought you were laying out on the NHL question.
I know that one.
All right. The active leader among assists among NHL players is?
Most active assists. That's got to be Jumbo.
Jumbo is correct. The man in the pink goalie pads is hot today.
Those pink pads did not go. Those did not go well.
What a surprise!
Yeah, I got shelled.
And finally, the active leader in penalty minutes among NHL players is.
Ooh, active penalty leaders.
It's probably not even that high, right? Probably not top 10.
Is this a defenseman?
It is.
Was he a former Islander?
Drafted by the Islanders.
Chara. Yeah. Chara.
He shoots, he scores. Well done, boys. Enjoy the draft tonight.
One of the craziest physical specimens you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah, isn't he like 6'8", 6'9", something like that?
He's huge. He's ridiculous, dude. We do 400-meter sprints on the track work, and he'd have a parachute on blowing by us. Insane.
Well, if the Islanders bring him back, I would not be unhappy.
No, I don't see
that. Fellas, 7:30 tonight. Enjoy the draft, ESPN Radio. As always, let's be
Andy, by the way,
there.
Andy, quickly, let me ask you a question. Dave wants to make a bet. More likely to win the Rookie of the Year this upcoming season.
Sorokin.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
All right, so make a wager.
Whatever you want.
All right. We got time. We don't need to rush it.
I'm in on this wager.
Oh, stop it.
Lose a page to the Chris Canty Foundation.
Ooh,
hello.
Big money.
Craig Canty just sitting on the side like, all right.
Scott. I'm all in on this, boys, and that might just get me out of the basement.
It just
fellas,
might.
Let's be careful out there and stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy. Outstanding job today, Rick. Very well done.
See, the problem with having Andy in your basement is because he's so charismatic. You could have like a multiplicity situation. Remember that movie?
Of course.
That's with
Michael Keaton, right?
Exactly, where weird things can start happening. Like she touched my peppy, Steve. Like something like that.
Well, I don't know what to say. Following the Knicks pick, I believe, Chris Carlin will take over and give instant analysis and get reaction. Now, today on ESPN Daily, the 2020 NBA Draft unfolds from Bristol, Connecticut. Mike Schmitz tells us what to expect from the top three picks and their impact on the league. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Rick, did you think we were done discussing Jamal Adams and his tenure with the Jets?
Of
you did not?
Of course not. No. No chance.
Well, you're right.
You can't help yourself.
He can't help himself, right? He just can't let it be. He can't let it go.
No, he can't, obviously.
Why?
It's a great question. I mean,
he got what he wanted.
But did he really get what he wanted, though? Ultimately?
He wanted to be out. He's out. He's going to get paid. He's on a functional team. What? Just leave them alone.
Leave them alone. But I'm sure, I mean, if I'm sure what he would, you know, would have really liked is to been drafted by a Jets team that was actually functional, that, you know, wasn't a losing organization. And he could have, I mean, it is still New York. He played at an all-pro level. I mean, it would have been nice to stay with the Jets. But, I mean, obviously that didn't work out. I mean, it was not listen, do I appreciate some of the stuff that he said about this team? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm sure there are some guys, Chris has been in locker rooms, where, you know, as a player, you don't like how some of your teammates deal with losing, and it just seems like they're okay with losing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamal Adams is a highly competitive guy, but you can't just, you know, blanket statement that, you know, no one in this locker room cares about winning the way that I care about winning, because I have a hard time believing that is true.
Yeah, but the overall mood after they won that last game and went 7-9 on the season, like he was saying that everybody was clapping and celebrating, and, you know, he felt the way about it because they had a losing season. And it just didn't seem like everybody was taking it as personal as he was. So, listen, I understand exactly where Jamal Adams is coming from, and Jets fans aren't going to like it. But when he's asked the question, I don't expect anything different from Jamal. Because what we've seen in his first 3 years here, he's not going to bite his tongue for nobody.
No, he's not going to.
No, but, and so he was asked about it by Brian McFadden on the podcast, and he answered the question.
Well, let's take a little bit of a listen. Here it is, the podcast, All Things Considered. Jamal Adams was a guest, and we'll play a couple of cuts. Firstly, he could not stand losing with this New York Jets team.
Man, we finished 7-9, right? And we came into the locker room. Everybody was happy, clapping it up. And it was just like, what do I really want? Can I stand this again?
And I guess the answer to that was an emphatic no, because he forced his way out of here and they got a couple of first-round picks for him. More from Adams on All Things Covered. The Jets situation, it gave him depression.
Bro, I fought depression in New York, bro. And I'm manning up.
Really?
I fought depression, bro.
Wow.
Oh, but there was so many. There's been so many times to where I've came home after a loss, a tough loss, and just sat in my room, bro, in the dark, no phone, no TV, and Pops will walk in and be like, "Hey, man, you all right?" He hated to see me like that. It killed my Pops so much. Come to find out, he was calling my agent at the time and saying, "Hey, man, I don't like seeing my son like this. I need him out of this situation."
So I guess my question would be this then, and I'll direct it to Rick and then Chris, you can answer after. And that is, if he was so depressed and was so miserable and he couldn't stand being here, why did he demand more money to stay with the Jets?
Well, it's going to be more money, like pay him what he want.
Right, but if you're depressed, so your depression has a price, can be bought?
Yeah, well, listen, Dave, I don't know a lot of people that are clinically depressed. I didn't take what Jamal said literally, but if you're feeling down about something, I'm pretty sure that $16, $17 million a year make you feel a lot better about your situation. Pretty sure.
Yeah, but it also doesn't mean, I mean, listen, I mean, I know Dave Gettleman said it, you know, we didn't sign Odell to trade him, but that's exactly what you ended up doing. So if the Jets are willing to overpay you to keep you happy.
So then it's worth, then the depression
well,
goes
no, 'cause you
by
can
the
still,
wayside.
No, for, no because you can still find a way to make yourself such a distraction that you get moved. But you've already gotten paid. I mean, that's what Odell did.
Plus, I mean, if you're willing to, as an organization, pay me top of the market value 3 years before you technically have to, then yeah, I'm going to feel a lot better about my situation. Like, the Jets were a losing program. Okay, let's not gloss over that. The Jets
and,
are
and
a losing
And they're worse now
team.
Than they were when he was here. They're awful.
Yeah, they were awful. Now, as he ascended and became the best safety in pro football, you know, they had that second half of last year. Now, it turns out it was fool's gold. But, I mean, 7-9 is a lot more respectable than what the Jets had been prior. So, I mean, I'm Jamal Adams wasn't – I didn't think he was wrong in real time demanding that the Jets either pay him or trade him, because if you're going to be in a situation where you're losing football games, at least pay me the respect I deserve. And NFL players, make no mistake about it, how you pay me is how you show me your respect. Just decided they weren't going to do that.
But, Chris, I think it could also speak to the point, and we had these conversations at the time, that, you know, maybe him and his agent were demanding so much money that they knew the Jets would never pay them that,
mm-hmm.
and would they would just decide that we have to trade him.
Which is fine either way for him. But the result was going to be okay for Jamal. We talked about it when he started doing it. Like, the result was going to be okay with him. Either he was going to make so much of a stink where you had to get rid of him because it was going to be a distraction for the team, or you were going to pay him what he wanted in a long-term contract. He could live with either result, is what I'm saying. Once he started down that road, we all knew what time it was.
We get he hates this organization. We get it. And here's another soundbite.
Yeah, but he's not doing himself, but Dave, to your point, he's not doing himself any favors. Like, if the hope by doing this interview was to, you know, to try to help Jets fans understand why he did what he did, he's not going to win that fight.
No, he's going to lose.
Does he even care about that anymore? Does he care about that perception from Jets fans? I don't think he does.
I don't think he ever did.
Yeah, I mean, he's with a winning team in Seattle, a team that's going to be in the playoffs, that has championship aspirations. Their defense is terrible, and he stinks this year. But, I mean, he's in a much better situation than he was the first 3 years of his career.
I guess the question for me is why you're gone. You got what you wanted. You're gone. As Chris just said, you're a functional team. You're not even having a good year. The arrow points up. You're going to probably go to the postseason. You have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Why do you need to come back and now take shots at the Jets? What's the necessity behind that?
Well, somebody asked him a question, Dave. What do you want him to do? To punt on the question when he's doing a podcast?
So then he went on with an agenda then.
Somebody asked him a question. He answered the question.
He didn't have to answer. He
how do you want him to answer
the
question, Dave? How do you expect Jamal Adams to answer that question?
You know, it wasn't a good run for me in the yard. Just whatever. Just be benign about it. He made sure to take shots at the Jets.
Been benign about anything?
He never is.
No, he never is. So, I mean, to have that expectation of him is nonsensical.
So it doesn't mean it's right. So because a guy always has to open his mouth,
mean he was lying about the situation
either.
I'm
not saying he was lying, but what's the necessity of taking huge shots at the Jets now? That they don't want to win? Does that make him look good?
But here's the other thing, though, Chris. And I see what you're saying, but at a certain point, too, I mean, you do have to say, Jamal has to take some accountability for not working out here. Like, I mean, some of it was on him, too, when how he dealt with some situations and everything else. I mean, he was not a great teammate. I can tell you that from people that I've talked to. He was not a great teammate. You don't have to bury your teammates either. I mean, you can say how you feel, but you don't have to take. I mean, you don't have to take the shots that he took. Like, no one inside that locker room wanted to win. You don't have to say stuff like that. We know you want to win. You tell us every 2 seconds. We get it. It's not who you are. You're not a loser. We get it. We understand it. You got what you wanted. Let's just. I mean, there's no need to keep pouring salt on the wounds. We get it. We're 0-9. We get it. We're bad.
That's true.
Nobody needs to be reminded what the Jets are.
They are 0-9.
We know exactly what the Jets are. Let's see what Ira says. Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. You know, listen, I get where you're coming from, Chris, but I know he's a player, but the mentality that he's supposed to have. But, you know, he got what he wanted. He got out of New York. He's going to get his big contract. He's on a winning team. You know, it's like a bad relationship. Just move on. You don't have to keep on going back and rehashing. I know somebody asked him the question. I get it. You know what? Maybe he's setting this up for when the Jets go out there in a couple of weeks, so it'll be a must-watch game. But you know what? Adams should be more concerned about his lack of play on the field, because I think he's had a lousy season, even though he's been hurt. I mean, Chris Collin brought up a great point. I think he said he was ranked like 57th out of all the safeties. So he's not
Doesn't matter, Ira, he has to play better, and I think he understands that he has to play better, but it really doesn't matter. Like, it's not going to impact Jamal Adams getting the financial security that he's looking for long term. Seattle traded 2 first-round draft picks for him. So the contract that he's looking for, it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if.
No, I get it, but you know what? Pete Carroll can't hide him the way Greg Williams did. And that's why he's getting exposed out there. And like I said,
he's not healthy either. So I think that's a part of it.
I get it. But you know what? Sam comes on the show with Michael Kay every Monday. You know, everybody knows what the deal is. It hasn't been a good situation. He's probably going to be out of here. But he's not throwing salt on the wound the way Jamal Adams is.
Sam's still on the team. How can Sam do that? He's still in that locker room. Jamal is all the way in Seattle. It doesn't matter it literally does not matter what he says. Like, he can say that about the Jets. It's not going to impact how his teammates receive him in Seattle.
No, that's true. But could you imagine if he was in New York at 0-9, what would be going on here right now? Oh, it would have been brutal. So thank goodness and good riddance. I wish him the best. But please, you know, move on. I don't want to hear you talking about the Jets anymore. You know, hopefully, maybe if the Jets win one game, maybe they go out there and they stick it to the Seahawks. But
he can't help himself. Right? No. I mean, he can't. This is who he is. He can't bite his tongue. He's never been able to.
Nope, and he's never going to be happy. And you know what? He'll force it. Someday he'll force his way out of Seattle, too. You watch. It's going to come to that.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's a winning program. So I don't know. I mean, unless you force your way to, like, Kansas City, I don't know where
you're
going to force
where
that.
Do you go? Where else
you have
you
a young
go?
Quarterback who's great and going to be good for a long time. So that he wants to play to his 40s, and your team goes to the postseason every single
and
year.
And a really good head coach. Yeah. Really good head coach.
If you force your way out of there, then I think you have some real issues. Let's go to Stevie in Whitestone. Stevie, you're next up on 98.7.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to touch on Jamal Adams. He's over here saying he was depressed, you know, being in New York. I mean, depression is a serious word. Depression is not knowing where your next meal is coming from. Depression is if one of your family members is dying of cancer. Depression is not playing in the NFL, okay? I don't know why he would say he's depressed. I understand nobody wants to lose.
Hold on, you're saying because you play in the NFL, you can't be clinically depressed?
No, but you can't be depressed from losing in the NFL.
Okay.
You want to be better. You want to be better and be in a better situation.
No, Steve, I think you could be depressed from anything. I don't think we can judge what therein lies the depression.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he legitimately was depressed or he's just using
term. When he made that comment, Dave, I didn't take that as he had a serious medical issue. That's not what it sounded like to me. Now, I could be wrong. I don't want to speak for him, but it just didn't sound like that during the course of that interview. That he was saying like he legitimately had a medical problem.
Right. But I don't think, I mean, we're not out here to judge who and when or why you can or should.
Yeah, you can't speak to that. Everybody's different. No. You can't speak to that.
Everybody has their own thing going on. Let's go to Billy in Long Island. Billy, what's up, bud? You're on 98.7.
Joe.
Billy.
Not happy. You guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Enjoy the show. Not happy about what they did with your scheduling, but that's another story. Also, Stump Rothenberg on Saturdays. Amazing. But
oh
if you guys
God.
Looked at...
Here we go, Dave's cousin calling in.
The guy calls to, wax
no.
poetic on how talented I am, and of course it bothers you.
Dave's agent calling into the show again.
Course,
all right, what
course,
do you got?
It bothers you. Go ahead,
well,
Billy,
guys,
please. I apologize.
If you looked up any of the information from what Jamal Adams was saying about after that last game, on his Twitter, he's talking about how great of a win it was and how he's looking forward to everything with the 7-9 winning that game against Buffalo and looking forward to everything with the Jets. And then when they didn't pay him, this all comes about. Come on. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. I mean, understand one thing. He got what he wanted, but there is still a little piece of any player that loves the idea of staying with the team that drafts you. Like, that's the hope. When you get drafted, you hope that that's the team you end up staying with your entire career.
Chose that he didn't want to.
No, I get it. But
you
I think
also,
part of that
I
is...
mean, if you're going to be a number six pick, generally the team's not going to be good when you're getting picked at that number.
But not
so
this
you have to
bad. Come on.
That too, and you
no, Billy, I mean, not this bad. Look how bad, Billy. They're horrendous.
It's also, too, but Billy, it's not just the results, too. But Billy, 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 Billy,
to
Billy, Billy, slow down for a second. I'll let you finish. It's not just the results, too. It's the fact, and he said it a couple different times. I mean, he was not buying into Adam Gase as his head coach. Like, that's also, I mean, that also goes into it. Like, if you don't feel like you have a good coaching staff that gives you the opportunity to be competitive to win games, which we're seeing play out this season, he's not a good coach. I mean, that's, what do you want to waste the prime years of your career in a place where you don't feel like you can win? Or at least you're building towards winning. That's the frustrating part. Like, there has to be a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, all this losing is going to eventually lead to something. It's going to lead to winning. And that's not where the team was headed. I don't like how we handled it, but, I mean, I said it at the time. I had a hard time blaming him for feeling the way he felt.
Oh, okay, but my point now is you won. You're gone. You're well, on you, a terrific team.
I don't,
you're with
listen,
a terrific
I,
quarterback.
I don't disagree with you. I think part of what he's trying to do is trying to explain to Jets fans why he made the decision that he made. But he's not going to – that's not a fight he's going to win. Like, we all realize, as a Jets fan, I realize how bad it is. But still, it's not going to – he's not going to win the battle with me. Like, you're not going to – whatever you say isn't going to change Jets fans'
minds. I mean, do you
Jets
even care
minds.
At this point? Like, what he has to say about the Jets, does it even, like, have any importance to you now? Or just enough, you're gone, you're goodbye.
No, I don't. But, I mean, I don't really pay much attention to social media and everything else. I don't know how Jets fans react to him on social media. They're probably mad at him. And part of the reason you answer those questions is to explain to Jets fans why you made the decision that you made. Like, why you felt like you could no longer be a New York Jet. That's why you answer those questions the way you answer them. To give reasons. This is why I did it. And hopefully you can sympathize with me, because would you want to be in that situation? No, but fans have a hard time putting themselves in those situations. It wouldn't matter if Dave Rothenberg is this same Dave Rothenberg that I all of a sudden added 40 pounds of muscle and athletic ability to and put you on the New York Giants over the last 3 years, as bad as you've been, you wouldn't say a bad word about the New York Giants.
No.
But that's how fans think. That's not how players think.
Yeah, but not every player does this.
No, not every player does this.
This is few and far between. I mean,
but guys on bad teams feel this way.
And that's fine.
There are a lot of guys on bad teams that feel this way, where there's no hope that your organization is going to get things turned around and that your head coach has no chance of putting you in positions where you can have success individually. And that's frustrating.
And Jamal Adams may be one of those players that's never happy in any situation.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, that just could be who he is.
And Pete Carroll's had quite a few of those guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So
yeah, he may be a guy that's the best at what he does, but his time in certain places just comes to an end, and he's got to move on to a different situation. There's coaches like that need to move on to different situations. Mm-hmm. He wears out his welcome. That could happen.
Jim Harbaugh, right? We've seen guys like that. John Tortorella.
Look at Earl Thomas right now. Can't get a job.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how you messed that up in Baltimore, though. Baltimore's not one of them places. You know what I'm saying?
You have to really
mess
that up.
Well, you got to really mess that up.
See, you got to find out what happened, too. Because wasn't it reported that...
Yeah, he got into one of the other safeties.
But wasn't it also reported that when he was on his way, or he was actually in Houston, like it sounded like Houston was going to sign him, that the players went to Bill O'Brien and said, we don't want him.
Yeah. I know he got into it at practice with Chuck Clark. I know that happened.
Well, there was a fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he got into it with him. I don't know. I guess the guys on the team and the leadership council sided with Chuck. So
yeah,
he had to do something that was out of pocket.
Clearly.
But, I mean, that just goes to show you, though. Like, I mean, even if you're a talented player, you know, sometimes you can not be worth the distraction. And for the New York Jets, the way that Jamal Adams was going about his business, like, they felt like they had no choice but to move on. They weren't a better team from a talent standpoint because they traded Jamal Adams, but they did set themselves up to have more ammunition to rebuild this team. Now you just hope that you got a head coach that can develop the players that the general manager picks. That's the next step.
When you watch Seattle play every week, like Thursday night, Rick, I'd imagine you're rooting for Arizona, right?
Of course.
Want Seattle to not get in.
Well, no, I mean, I'm probably gonna pick Seattle, so I'll be rooting for Seattle.
Yeah, you like Mr. Unlimited. Stop it, Rick.
Yeah, I like Russell Wilson. I'll be rooting. This is what I'll be rooting for: is a shootout where Jamal and the defense plays terrible, but somehow Russell Wilson finds a way.
Mr. Unlimited.
So you dislike Jamal Adams now?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care for how he's handling this whole situation. I don't think he needs to continue to just pour salt on the whole Jets situation. I mean, we're bad. We get it. We're 0-9.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Could you imagine if he was on an 0-9 team?
We didn't want to have to trade you, but, I mean, it's what we had to do.
Yeah, he didn't leave them any other choice.
He's the one that forced the trade.
Listen, under the circumstances, I don't fully blame him. But, again, I think it speaks to how important it is to have – a culture in place, to have leadership in a locker room.
Or how about a coach that can have good personal relationships with his players? Like, Chris, you have to have that.
Chris, how important is that? Especially when you see, like, perfect example.
Rick, it's everything. It's why we're praising Joe Judge, man. I was doing
Tomlin?
Or Mike Tomlin, exactly. I mean, listen, Bill Parcells. Like, I was thinking about this last night. Like, that's one of the things that Bill Parcells was really good at. Like, he was able to, you know, get to know guys and know what makes them tick, know what motivates them, and he was able to push the right buttons to bring out the best in guys. Sometimes it was him screaming at the guys directly. Sometimes it was him going in the media and putting things in the press so the guy could see it. But either way, Bill Parcells knew how to get at guys in order to bring out the best in him. Tom Coughlin the same way. They did it a different way, but it was the same objective. And you got to have a head coach that understands the value of personal relationships. And that clearly ain't Adam Gase, which goes back to why the hell did the Jets hire this guy after he got fired from the Dolphins?
You know what? I will say this, and this will be a topic of conversation, obviously, once this NFL season is over. I'm starting to question in my mind. I think Bieniemy, I feel like that would be the guy. But the more we talk about a Mike Tomlin, a John Harbaugh, the more I feel like Joe Judge. Is there a benefit now to having somebody that's more of a CEO than a specialist as your head coach? Like, does that
Rick, it was always about a coach that had good relationships with his players.
No, but don't you feel like it creates more continuity because you don't, like, if things go bad with your offense and your head coach is the offensive coordinator, like, he's got to go. Like, you have to make a change. But if your head coach is more like a John Harbaugh or a Mike Tomlin, if things go sideways with your offense, all you got to do is we can just replace the offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, he can be the one that pays the price.
You're right. I get exactly what you're saying. But, I mean, just to further drive home your point, I mean, football is a hard sport, man. You're going to have to make men do things that they don't want to do in order to be successful. Like, Tom Coughlin, one of his things, he used to always tell us that he was our mirror. All he did was tell us what he sees. But the other thing that he used to always preach was that my job is to make you do something that you don't want to do so you can become what you want to become. You got to have personal relationships in order to do that. Like, that's important. That should always be a key requisite for, you know, any head coach that you're going to hire. X's and O's are important. Play calling is important, but it's not important as the human element. Being able to reach those guys and get them on board with your agenda, with your program. You got to have that.
And you see it happening right now. You see it happening with Joe Judge right in front of your eyes. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN and 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, and we go to Dan Graziano. Our NFL insider joins us here on 98.7. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We are good, and we appreciate a couple minutes as always. So, the Giants, big win, 2 in a row, 3-7. Two-part question. A, in your mind, are they the best team in the division now? And B, do you think they wind up winning the NFC East at the end of the season?
Boy, I guess because they beat the Eagles head-to-head, you would say they're the best team in the division right now, like in terms of how everyone's playing. I still look at that Eagles roster as it gets healthier and think that, especially with a 1.5-game lead, they should have enough to outlast the Giants, who I think are – like, I think if you're a Giants fan right now, you're excited, right? You see a direction. You see, you know, them responding to the coach. You feel good about the future. I still think if you size up the Giants roster, it's hard to see them as a factor this year, even in – I mean, NFC East, obviously, somebody's going to win it. But I would still favor the Eagles long-term, for the rest of this season at least, because I think as they get healthier, they'll play better. I don't know what's wrong with Carson Wentz. I keep, and everybody I talk to keeps expecting him to kind of snap out of it, and he hasn't. And if he doesn't, then they have a problem. But, yeah, the Giants, you know, they haven't had a lot of opportunities to puff out their chests here the last few years, and I think this week certainly afforded them one.
Dan, is there real concern, though, in Philadelphia? I mean, they did draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. Is there real concern that Carson Wentz just is not going to snap out of this?
Well, I mean, look, they didn't draft Jalen Hurts because of concern over Carson Wentz. They drafted him because he's a good player and we think he's undervalued at the spot. So, Wentz, yes, there's concern because you feel like he's regressing a little bit and he should be kind of catapulting forward in his career. And they're trying to figure out what it is, whether it's mechanics, whether it's concentration, whatever. But they have to stick with him because of the contract they signed him to. They're kind of locked in on him for another, really, 3 years. So it's really a matter of trying to get him better as opposed to thinking about, well, what would we do if we pivoted to Jalen Hurts? I don't believe that's part of their equation right now.
Dan, with the injury to Drew Brees down in New Orleans, do you still expect the Saints to win the NFC South, or do you think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now got to be looked at as the favorite?
I think the Saints can still figure it out, especially given that they have that head-to-head tiebreaker. You know, Tampa's going to have to pass them which is easier said than done. And Tampa hasn't exactly looked unbeatable or perfect consistently week to week. They look great this past week, I understand. But I would still favor, the team that's won it the last three times, the coach that's won it the last three times, and, a roster that's pretty much the same as the one that has won the division 3 years in a row. So I don't know how long they're going to be without Breeze. If it's the rest of the year, that could be kind of a demoralizing thing to them. But, again, they have the right coaching staff in place to kind of shepherd them through that kind of thing.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I'm fascinated with New England because I watched them on Monday night not long ago, and they barely beat the Jets, and they probably shouldn't have, and they get the win there, and then they really surprise everybody and beat Baltimore. Now they're 4-5 in a very winnable game in Houston this weekend to get to 500. Are they going to get in? Like, are we going to be dealing again with another season of New England in the postseason?
I don't see it. I mean, I've seen them up close a few times this year. They just don't. I don't think they have enough good players. And look, I'm not trying to, they're all good players in the NFL. But when you compare them to the other teams, I don't think you would look at New England's roster right now against the Buffalo's or Miami's and say it's superior in very many areas, if any at all. So, yeah, I think the Jets game you mentioned was handed to them. The Baltimore game, weird, rainy kind of mess of a game. Obviously, they were able to get to go their way. I don't think week in, week out, this is a team that's going to be the better team on the field. I wouldn't actually even be surprised if Houston found a way to beat them this week.
So who would you say in the AFC East then? I mean, clearly not the Jets. Is it Miami the way they're playing, or you still think Buffalo's going to win the division?
I saw there were like five scenarios where the Jets can be eliminated this week from playoff contention.
Yeah, I believe it's the Jets have a less than 0.1% chance to win the AFC East.
So, yeah, we can probably ignore that, I think, safely. Buffalo and Miami are both very good teams. If you're watching Miami right now, the way the defense is playing, the way they're kind of winning the special teams battle every week, and you have a young quarterback who, I don't want to say he's playing safe, but he's playing responsibly, right? He's protecting the ball well. He's making good decisions. I mean, I think very much like Buffalo, it's a well-coached team that's got more roster depth than I think we gave it credit for. And I think, I think I favor Buffalo because they have so much tiebreaker edge. They're 4-0 in the division already. So not only does Miami have to pass them, but, they probably have to beat them in Week 17 to clinch it. But I picked Miami on the show this morning because I think they're on a roll and it's going to get better. I think their next three games are Broncos, Jets, and Bengals. So you could have a team that rolls into December feeling like, hey, there's nobody can beat us. We've won whatever it'll be, 8 in a row if they win all three of those. I think the momentum will be on their side, and I think they probably run down the Bills and take it.
And Dan, you're leading me into my next question. I mean, we just finished Week 10 in the NFL, and we've got 9 teams in the AFC that have 6 wins or more. And I think everybody would agree that the Steelers and Kansas City, they're the class of the conference. But who's that third team in your mind that could potentially give those other two teams at the top some trouble?
Well, in terms of the standings, I mean, the one that's closest to threatening them would be Buffalo. But again, they have some tough games coming up, and I don't think they're quite on that level yet. As good as they are, I don't think they're quite on the level of those two teams yet. So what I look at is, like, who could knock off one of those two teams in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
That's the one for me. So I'm fascinated to see this Chiefs-Raiders game this week because the Raiders beat them earlier in the year, and it wasn't like a fluky, the ball bounced their way kind of win. The Raiders dictated that game, played it the way they wanted to, and took it to the champs. If they can do that again, then you would have to say, oh, that's the biggest threat to the Chiefs because they know how to play them and they're not going to be scared. Now, if the Chiefs come out in this revenge game and beat them by 40, maybe you change your mind on that. But they're an interesting team to me. I think the Colts are a team that plays very good defense. And, if the offensive line is starting to play like it can and they can get the run game going behind that, I think they're going to be a very difficult team to play come playoff time. And, we were just talking about Miami and Buffalo, I think, are both excellent teams. The one hesitation I have on Buffalo is the defense hasn't played consistently well week in and week out, and there was about a month where opposing defenses seemed to figure them out and figure out a way to play them and limit the scoring, and then of course you have the possibility of Josh Allen
a play that loses you a game. But, I think Buffalo right now is the third best team, but it is, as you say, we still have some learning to do about all those teams before we can make concrete predictions going into January.
One thing I think we all agree on, Dan, is the AFC is just jam-packed loaded at the top there. We appreciate the time, as always. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Good stuff, Dan. Thanks so much.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. That is Dan Graziano with us here on 98.7 ESPN.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Hump Day edition of Knobservations, as we like to do. And since Dave actually gave me a full segment today, we're going to start off with a live look at the weather with the handsome, talented, multifaceted, smartest man alive in his own mind, Dave Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
Well, wear a jacket today is all I can say. It's a high of 35, and that'll be around 2 or 3 o'clock. Sunny, but not warm. Sun setting at 4:33 today. Humidity, not going to rain, 42%. Feels like, how about this, 21. Winter is here in November. Rick, the floor is yours.
It's terrific cuddle weather. I will say that. Terrific cuddle weather. Tough time getting out of bed this morning. Let's start with some good news, shall we? You guys ready for some good news?
Love good news.
Apparently, Pfizer will seek FDA approval for COVID-19 vaccine in days, as the final trial analysis shows it is 95% effective.
Love
95%
it.
Effective. Officials have said they hope to have about 20 million vaccine doses each from Moderna and Pfizer available for distribution in late December.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Nice. It's about time 2020 brought us a little bit of good news, huh?
It's about time. 2020 has been relentless. All right, here we go. We talked about this earlier on in the show when the Knicks actually made the move to move up from 27 to 23 with the Utah Jazz. They packaged 27 and 38 to move up to 23. Mm-hmm. Woj is reporting, and we had mentioned this, that moving up the four spots and now having 8 and 23 allows the Knicks to have more flexibility as far as moving up in tonight's draft.
Which they're going to do.
Feels like they're going to do.
I feel confidently they move up.
What do you think they can get to with that package, Dave?
Ooh. See, I feel like I know the football way better than the basketball way,
okay,
to be honest. But, yeah, five or six.
Okay.
Maybe you have to add a little sweetener, 8 and 23 and something to get up to five. But if Toppin is the guy you want, I think that's what you do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Nope.
It sounds like if you include the right player too, you could even mess around and end up with a second overall pick.
Wow!
Wow!
So 8-23 in a player and bring in LaMelo.
Wow!
It could be LaMelo, could be Wiseman.
That's dreaming.
I can't imagine the Knicks would trade up to 2 for Wiseman.
Well, I mean, if the player you're trading is Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, but if you have a chance to get the point guard and you deem LaMelo as a star point guard, that would be.
Yeah, you would have to deem Melo. Yeah, you'd have to. I mean, you would have to deem LaMelo as.
Yeah.
So would you make that move, Dave? Mitchell,
yes.
Robinson, 8 and 23 to get LaMelo?
Yes.
Okay.
It's unfortunate now if you do end up with Melo that you don't have
Mitchell Robinson.
Well, no, you don't have Shved, because then you could have a Shveddy ball night.
Come on.
Oh, dear. It was nice. It took effort. That wasn't spur of the moment. You've been thinking.
No,
about
I always that. Keep I always keep Shved in my back pocket in case I need to.
You never know when you're going to need him. Yeah.
you never know with the Shved.
Oh boy.
All right, couple stories here for the Wednesday edition. I really like these stories. I'll start off with this one because I can just the visual of this just cracks me up. Did this happen in Florida? A man wanted in an alleged $35 million Ponzi scheme tried to flee from FBI agents by, get this, hopping on an underwater sea scooter. First, the 44-year-old man, jumped into a pickup truck when agents went to arrest him, leading them on a wild chase before eventually abandoning the vehicle and jumping onto his Yamaha sea scooter. Get this. it's a submersible device that pulls users at, get this, 4 miles per hour.
Oh, it really moves there, huh?
It really moves.
Yeah.
So they let him jump in. He stays underwater for 25 minutes, pops up, and they arrest him.
And they were standing over him like, all right, now we'll bring you. I'm going to say not Florida. I will say no.
Not Florida. Canny, Florida.
I'm with Dave on this one. Not Florida.
Not Florida. Santy can't even swim. So, Santy, what do you think? Florida?
I just can't see that happening in Florida. Like, you would go into a body of water in Florida. You're not coming out.
Well, I mean, that's so. How do you know? You're going to get. I mean, what's going to happen? You're going to get eaten by an alligator or something?
Possible.
No, that's possible. I mean,
I still love sharks.
I can't imagine that he's of sound mind.
What's the answer?
He's going to jump out of the pickup truck onto a scooter that goes underwater at 4 miles an hour, and they're not going to get him. It's California, boys. That is a California man.
Yeah, no wonder you didn't want to give us the answer, because we were all right.
I guess they just let, when he jumped into the water on the scooter, they just sat and watched him, and they could just see the bubbles and just waited for him to come back up, and they could arrest him. All right, here we go. One more. Did this happen in Florida?
You better hurry, because you're past time already.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have time for the story then.
No, it's a long one.
Yeah, I mean, it's on. It's. I don't want to do it justice.
All right, then why don't we? We don't need to do observations tomorrow, but you will tell us that story tomorrow.
I will tell us this story
at the end of CMT.
Correct.
How's that?
Correct.
All right.
Hybrid.
Draft 7:30 tonight, right here on ESPN. Carlin will analyze the pick right when it's made.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.